And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stones he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first, or Luz, depending on if you got a little Spanish in you or not. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. I'll get it in just a second. It's bad if our preacher can't even read it when he talks about money, ain't it? Amen. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. Pray that you'd touch us together, Lord, and help us as we look in the Word of God. Help me to handle it correctly. And Lord, I pray that your will be done in the service. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This passage of Scripture, or the whole chapter, the chapter before, it's just some of those chapters that are just packed with stuff. You can't hardly get through with it and even really do justice to it. In chapter 27, things have happened. Jacob has supplanted his brother and got the birthright, and got his birthright, and then got the blessing. And things don't look too good for Jacob at this point. Esau has already promised in his heart, as sure as my daddy's dead, and sure as the morning's over, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill my brother. And so this chapter's kind of, chapter 27 is full of stuff, and it comes out over to chapter 28. But in the end of chapter 27, we find Rebecca is worried about her son. It's amazing to me how the scripture talks about Esau being Isaac's son, and Jacob being Rebecca's. That's not good when you have a family split like that. One prefers one over the other. Amen, that's not right. I've raised four, and I know it doesn't work. I tried my best not to do that. I had two that were easy to raise and two that weren't. I had to beat the socks off all of them, amen. But the Lord has been good to us. But this is what divided this home completely. I mean, it was Rebecca's idea to go in and make the kill the two lambs and make the meat, the savory meat, and take in and deceive your dad. It was Rebecca's idea to do it. Of course, I believe Jacob was a very willing partner in the job and stole the blessing. And so something's about to happen in the last part of 27. Rebecca comes to Isaac and says, listen, I'm really worried about Jacob finding him a wife of the Canaanites here. And so we ought to do something about it. In the first part of chapter number 28, he sent Jacob back to Haran, or back to, I think they call it Padanaram, back to where they came from, to find him a wife. And he's gone, and as he's in the journey, night overtakes him, and Jacob lays down, very unprepared for the journey, seeming to me, and uses some rocks for a pillow for his head. Bless his heart. Have you ever tried using a rock for a pillow? It's not very good. No wonder he dreamed a dream. Amen? But as I looked at these things, I saw a few things in it. First of all, I'd like to show you the revelation in the night was not only a great experience for Jacob, but it was a an awakening to reality for him. Jacob hears the promise of the patriarchs and that Abraham and his granddaddy had heard, and now his dad Isaac had heard. And now in this time of sleeping with his head on rocks for pillows, God has opened up and let him see some things in his dream, and he hears the promise of the patriarchs, and he tells them, this land that you're on is yours. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm really interested about that, because we're in a situation right now where we really need to pray for Israel. Our last president did a very nasty thing to Israel before he left office, and let them make a declaration against Israel that the United States had always stopped and always vetoed, and he did not do that. And that's the first time that's happened since 48, when Israel became a nation. And in doing that, that puts us on the wrong side, amen, against Israel. And let me tell you, this business is where he says, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. If it stands for nobody, it'll stand for Israel. And so here we see that Jacob hears the promise of the patriarchs. And secondly, we see that he gets the promise of possession. Look, it's repeated to him in verse number 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it, this ladder, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Jacob, of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and thy seed. The land of Canaan, let me just go on record, is not the Arabs. The land of Canaan is Israel's. God gave it to him. He let Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob walk over it. He promised it to him. And may I say this, they're in the land and they're not going to go out. Amen. I don't care what happens. God will turn this world upside down and shake it to keep Israel exactly where it's at. And let me tell you, it's going to get rough during the tribulation period. We may see it get rough before then, but God's going to bless his people. And you and I need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. And for God's people. He promised this land to them. And the Palestinians think it's theirs, but it's not. It's given by God, by the decree of Almighty God. And when God says something, it doesn't matter if you and I believe it or not. Amen. It's truth. Amen. And God said it's going to be yours. So we see the promise of not only of the patriarch, but the promise of possession. This is yours. I'm going to give it to you. And what a wonderful thing to lay down and sleep at night, and God starts revealing wonderful things to you. And we see not only the promise of the patriarchs, but he shows something else. Look at verse number 14, the promise of prosperity. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and the south. Down throughout history, the Jews have been persecuted more than any sect or group of people that I know of. They're the chosen people of God, yet by being that, I believe, they're persecuted more. The Roman Empire tried their best to put their foot on their neck and control them. Hitler tried his best to exterminate them. Amen. I don't care if the Muslims do say that that's not true. It is. Amen. Tried to kill them and tried to put them out. But let me say this. God gave them that promise. And God said, you're going to multiply and I'm going to take care of you. And I like, as I read this, I see some things in this that really touches my heart. When you see people in the United States, we have groups, I call them hate mongers. They just hate something or everything or everybody. The white will hate the black will hate the white, and this will hate that. But if you watch them, they'll always stick the Jews in there. Why do you always stick the Jews? I don't understand that. But they'll do that every time. And it's kind of, it's part of the curse that's upon them, I believe, for rejecting the Lord Jesus as who he was. But not only do we see that, the promise of a possession and the promise of prosperity, but we see the promise of pardon. Look at verse 14 again. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad the west, east, north, and south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is a prophetic word concerning our blessed Lord Jesus, the coming Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel and the Redeemer of the Gentiles. Hey, Jacob, he said, I want you to know something. I'm not only going to bless you, I'm not only going to give you this unconditional promise that I gave Abraham and Isaac, I'm going to give it to you too. I'm going to give you the same land, but I want to let you know something. In you, in this group of people, the Jewish nation, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that is the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. It's like God said, now, Jacob, I know that the world's in a mess, but I got a plan. I'm going to take care of it. And I love this because it's the plan of salvation that he's talking about to the Jew first, amen, and also to the Greek and us. I know the whole of humanity, but I got something coming. I got something working, and here it is. We see the promise of the patriarchs. We see the promise of possession. We see the promise of prosperity. We see the promise of pardon. Amen. I heard a fellow preach the other night, and he said it's this. It's not just having your, sins pardoned, but the word that the Bible uses a lot of time is justified. And we see it now, that word is a legal term. And in that term, it is like, it's like what we use now is we're having the record expunged. That means they take everything that you've ever done wrong on your record and they delete it. It's not there anymore. Well, when you trusted Christ as your Savior and he saved you, he justified you, or he expunged all of your sins, and it is just as though you have never sinned. Now, I'm telling you, that's better than being pardoned. Amen. You're pardoned. You're forgiven for the sin you've done. But when he looks at us, thank God he looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he looks at us and we are as pure as Jesus is. You say, well, brother, I don't understand that. I don't either. But I sure do believe it. Amen. Because it's in the Bible. And I rejoice over that wonderful plan that God had, that he gave us. And let us have the privilege of having the promise of pardon. Now, fifthly, we see the promise of his presence when the Lord tells Jacob in verse number 15, and behold, I am with thee. That ought to be enough to make a Presbyterian shout. Amen? That God's going to be with you. Isn't that a wonderful thing that the God of heaven that stepped out on nothing and said, let there be everything, and everything was, comes down to a man with his head on a bunch of rocks sleeping at night and said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. Look what it says. And will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and will bring this land again. For I will not leave thee until I've done that which I have spoken to thee of. The promise that Jacob is getting here is of his presence. It's unthinkable that God would send his presence. But wait a minute. We've got the same promise. The book of Matthew chapter number 28, verse 18, the Bible says, Jesus spake to them saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And then Matthew said, amen. No, God said amen, because it's in red too. You don't have to take this promise. Sometimes we take this promise, I believe, a little bit for granted. Listen to what I'm saying. If you think the Lord's with you because of verse number 20, maybe you need to study the passage just a little bit. Because the Bible says, if you go and you teach and you baptize, lo, I'm with you. What do you mean? Oh, he's not going to leave us like that. But his presence will be so real to us if we are in obedience to his command. Hey, this was not the great suggestion. This is the great commission of the church of the living God. And if you're part of that church or this church, the church, amen, then it's a commission to you that you and I are to go forth and teach. Amen. Witness. Tell other people about Jesus Christ. But brother, I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. Where are you going to send them? Hell number two? Amen? You give the gospel to them. Tell them what Jesus did for you. I've heard a fellow said, the best thing I can do is tell them what he did for me when he did what he did for me. Just tell them where I was at and what he did. Amen. And that'll be the best witness you could possibly, because you know what he did for you. I know what he did for me anyway. The promise of his presence. And then lastly, we see the promise of position. And I will bring thee, same verse number 15, and I will bring thee again into this land. The devil and all of his demons could not keep the promised land from the Jews. Now they were dispersed, but in 48 they came back, and it's a country now. And if Hitler wants to try it, if the Muslims round about Israel want to try it, they got to understand you can't thwart the hand of Almighty God. We may not see it with our eyes, but God works in Israel. I'd love to visit Israel. I'm going to in the millennium, if no other time, but I'm going to visit. They can't help but be there. God promised it for them. But as I look at this passage and I see all of these things that are taking place for Jacob, I come to the end of this whole verses of Scripture, and I see something here that bothers me and touches my heart. First of all, I want to see the situation of Jacob. He's dreaming a dream. He's on a trip now, maybe because he's been instructed by his dad to go, and he's in the trip going there. And he comes to this place, and the situation is he just comes to any place. Seemingly nothing special about this place, except it's got dark and he needs to sleep and he rests. So the situation, there's nothing spectacular to him. But then we see a surprise to Jacob as he lays down. Look what it says. Behold, I am with thee, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep. It was a surprise to him what went on. He said, surely the Lord is in this place. And as I see that, I believe this can relate to us as the children of God. Because I believe a lot of times in our Christian life, we walk right past the hand of God and never see it. Amen? Have you ever been real close to having a bad accident or something, and there's no way you can explain how you got out of it? And we take for granted, whoa, I was a good driver. No, it was God Almighty helping you. A lot of times in our life, we go on about our life and we don't see the hand of God working in our lives. We take it for granted. A lot of times we come to church, and I'm sorry to say this, out of habit. It's a good habit. But we come out of habit. We come to the house of God. We don't come to the house of God really to meet with God. But we know our pastor wants us to be there. And we know we've always been, I started church 9 months before I was born. Amen? I've always been in church. Hadn't always been right, but I've always been in church. And I've always went to church. We always go. But I don't want to go to church just to go to church. Think about that just for a minute. We come to church to worship the true and living God. But let me say this, you can't come to church and worship the Lord Jesus with all the weights and things that you've got in this world that this world throws on you. Somewhere, sometime before you get here, would you do the preacher a favor? Would you do the rest of the congregation a favor? Would you do yourself a favor? Stop for a minute and ask God Almighty to open your eyes and let you see if there's something between you and Him. What do you mean, preacher? Do you realize how easy sin is? Sin is so easy that the Bible says to know to do good and doing it not, it's sin. Now, I can tell you, I can do that really easy. Maybe y'all are more spiritual than I am. Maybe so, I don't know. But I know that I can do that real easy. And a lot of times I'll come to the house of the Lord, it's kind of like this slide in here, whoop, I made it. Run into the house. Made it four times. Brother Nix, I ain't took 10 minutes to stop and pray. I ain't checked up on my life. Amen. I ain't checked up on my life and the things that's going on about me. We live in a dirty world, friends. We live in hell all around us all the time. And all the forces of hell against us. And if we want to come to the house of the God and have the power of God and be as, sometimes we want to be as shocked as he is. The Lord's in this place. And the bad thing is, he said, and I knew it not. Oh, we ought to come to the house of God prepared for him and ready for him. For when we get there, we expect his presence. Amen. It's not that it's a special service. It ought to be a service every time we come, that we come hungry to hear from God and from heaven. I remember as a little old boy, we go to church and we got out of the car. We sat. Everybody had their own special place to sit. Harvey had got to where he could drive. He's the oldest. So he drove. 51 Chevrolet. Mama sat in the middle. And Daddy sat on the passenger side door. And I sat between his legs. And then my two sisters and my two brothers sit in the back. And that's the way we went to church. And I don't ever remember being late. I don't ever remember being late for church. I really don't. And when we got there, I remember the last instructions that Mom always gave me, Brother Mike. Don't you get dirty. Yes, ma'am. We'd go out and play because we always got there early. And the ladies and gentlemen, they would fellowship and have a time of talking and everything. And then about 10 or 15 minutes before service time, they'd be a parting like the Red Sea. And the ladies, if you're looking at that little lopsided church, looking at the front of the church, the ladies would start drifting off up this direction and the men off down that direction. Men go down the pine thicket below the church and the ladies go up the pine thicket above the church. You say, well, brother, what'd they do? They called heaven down's what they did. I've been in that pine thicket and God's so thick you could stare with a stick. Amen. The preacher, when he got in the pulpit, had no choice but to preach. Amen. Everybody had been rooting for him. Amen. Everybody had been calling on God for him. And when he got there, sometimes I had trouble even reading the scripture. But I remember him preaching with the power of God running off their fingertips. And I've seen sinners grip the back of the pews. I know because I was one of them. Until the Lord saved me. And we come sometime, and I'm honest, we're kind of like Jacob. The Lord's in this place. Well, you know why the Lord's here? Because we are. Amen. It's not this building. Now, I think you ought to reverence the house of God. Don't get me wrong. And I don't think your kids ought to put their feet up on the back of the pews. Amen. I don't think you ought to write in the songbooks. Amen. Nor text each other during class, during school, church, I mean. Amen. You do it in class, that's your business. Miss Carver take care of you. Amen. But not in the house of God. Because we've come here to meet with the Lord. And here, Jacob says, God's in, this is the, look what he said. He said, this is the gate of heaven. It is. This is. How many of you got saved in church? Now, that's not the only place you get saved, but the majority of us did. And for us, this place right here, the church, maybe not this church, it was a gate to heaven for us, amen, because we got in the church. But the thing about it, the Bible says, we see the summation of it. This is none other but the house of God, this is the gate to heaven. And then we see the spirituality of Jacob when he says, and I knew it not. I'm sad to say that many times we come to the house of God and enter his presence without preparing for him. And this is what happens to us. And I'm not saying you. You notice I'm using the inclusive pronoun us. We're tuned in to the times around us. We know what's going on in England. We know that there's a guy with a four-wheel drive run through a bunch of people and stabbed the policeman to death and was shot. We're tuned in on the times when probably we might not should be so much. And we're trained by the things that happen around us. This is how you react in this certain situation. And a lot of times we come to the house of God and we're tainted by the temptations that the devil and the world and the flesh put in our life. And we don't deal with them before we get here. Amen. I'm saying we, folks. I'm not saying you. This touched me a long time before it touched you. And we're tempered or modified by the devil around us. And when we come here, we come here unprepared to meet with God. And when God shows up, we say, wow, the Lord's in this place. He'd be in this place every time if we come to meet with Him like we ought to. Amen? He'd be here with us every time if we just meet with Him prepared for His presence. We, amen? We're the ones He comes to meet with. We're the ones that's come to meet with Him. Dear beloved, this is something that we need to do. There's probably some sitting here tonight that really and truly, even now, you're not prepared to meet with God. You understand what I'm saying? Not to meet God, but to meet with God. I believe I'd be safe in saying if God was to really show up and something really happened great tonight, some of us would be shocked. Amen? Well, it's a Wednesday night. Wow. This don't happen on Wednesday night. Why? Why don't it happen on Wednesday night? Why shouldn't it happen on Wednesday night? If we come to really worship Him, we'd probably say, the Lord's in this place. And I knew it not. God's been churning this in my soul for some time. This may be for nobody but me. But I sure am glad that He spoke to me about it. Because I find myself sliding in here and almost running to get in here for time. And I've not spent time preparing myself to meet with Him. You know, it'd be amazing how good our preacher would preach if we're ready when we come. Amen? It'd be amazing how wonderful the choir'd sing if every member of the choir's ready when they come. Amen? It'd be amazing how the sinner'd have trouble sitting in the congregation of the righteous if we were righteous and ready when we met together. Amen? This business of worshiping God is all dependent upon our response to Him. I'm going to give you something that's really profound. You may think it's funny, but every time me and God has ever had any trouble, it's always my fault. Amen? If I want to hear from heaven and I don't hear from heaven, it ain't God's fault. It's my fault. And I believe we all just look at ourselves. Do we come prepared to worship the Lord? Do we come prepared really to meet with Him and let Him speak to our hearts? I want our preacher to stand and preach with fireball running off his fingertips, unapologetically preach the Word of God, preach sin as it is. Amen. Heaven wonderful and hell hot. Amen. To every one of us. And have the liberty to preach it. And I have tried my best lately to prepare myself before I ever get to the house of God that I'd not be a hindrance to Him. And I wouldn't want to be saying, the Lord's in this place. And I didn't know it. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You for how You've touched my heart with this message. Lord, You may not touch anybody else's heart. That's completely all right with me because I know You've touched my heart with it. Because I find myself so many times being so caught up in the things of the world, in things of everyday life. Now, I'm not talking about sin, Lord, you know. I just get caught up in life and working and doing, and all of a sudden it's time to church, and I've wasted time that I should have been getting ready for the house of God, not physically but spiritually. And dear God, would you help me that I'd be more conscious of the fact that we come to meet with you. We come to sing songs to you and about you and lift you up in song and in prayer and in the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I don't know if you've touched anybody else's heart, but Lord, if there's somebody here that you've opened their eyes and helped them to see, Father, that maybe they've not come prepared like they should, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Maybe some of them want to come to this altar and pray. I pray that your will would be done. While we stand at our feet and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you need to speak to the Lord about this subject, the altar's open for you.